May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have 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 your attention, please?
Oh my goodness, I don't normally let that play for quite so long, but we were looking for links to home pages and we just found one, actually. So this is Attention Please, and I say good afternoon to all of you, and welcome to Attention Please, which is a show we at KPTZ bring to you because we want you to know all the good work being done in our community, work of which we all should be and are proud. And I'm Phil Andrus. The topic of Attention Please today is the AIR program, A period, I period, and so forth, R-E program, most likely pronounced AIR by the people involved with it. And with me are three women to describe it. They're Carol Rashana Williams, Tracy Grisman, and Adriana Santiago. Your microphones all are turned on as far as I can see, so welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
Oh, good. I'm glad they know what to say when I say that. Carol Rashana Williams is an artist who can draw pictures, and she can paint pictures. But
thank you.
Is that really true, Carol?
I'm working towards it, yes.
All right, continuing, as she thinks of an artist, and we think of an artist, but for this conversation, it's her public art that interests us and the AIR program specifically. She is a visual artist, a public speaker, an educator, a consultant, a musician, the owner of an organization, K-Love for Art, all caps. And maybe we'll have time for her to talk to us about that, but maybe not. Tracy Grisman is a visual artist, a registered nurse, retired, a very fine stand-up bass player, an environmental and community activist, and Tracy these days seems to be utterly everywhere that I go. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Now, Adriana Santiago, I don't know a thing about you other than once you were lost on my road and were in my parking lot and I told you where you needed to go. Could you give us a little background on you? Because I don't have any to share with our listeners.
Sure. My background is in the fine arts. I have an MFA from the University of Colorado at Boulder and a BFA in photography from the University of Colorado at Denver. I've lived in New York. I've worked in mental health. I've worked in nonprofits such as Boys and Girls Club and the Harm Reduction Action Center. And currently here in Port Townsend, I'm working with my family and on growing a community farm called Chai Acre Farm. It's over on San Juan and Discovery, formerly known as the Nomura property.
Thank you very much, Adriana. And let's start with Tracy as far as AIR is concerned. Yes, starting with Tracy, what does AIR stand for to begin with?
AIR stands for Artist in Residence and Education Program. There's no P, but it is a program. Artist in Residence and Education.
And did you create the name?
I think so. Well, we just swooped up the concept of AIR from Recology in San Francisco and added E because we wanted to have an educational element to our program. And then it morphed. We had Fresh AIR for a while, but
Somebody already has that. Yeah,
it was kind of a cool thing, like to have Fresh AIR program at the transfer station. That would that'd be kind of cool, but we decided on AIR.
How many of you on this committee, and how long have you been cooking on this notion?
Okay, so I have a little timeline here. So it was in November of 2020 that the proposal was showed to Al Cairns and Alyssa at the Skookum and the transfer station. And in 5 days, Al got back to us and said, we can do this. And then there was conversation around where to place this program, whether Centrum, Northwind Art, you know, Local 2020. There was a lot of discussion with a lot of people from those entities. And it was I was thinking at the moment, I think we can just get this started. Let's just do it. Why go through all these hoops and committees? We just form a committee. So I invited four artists that I knew were really passionate about the work, trash work.
I was going to say, we're talking around what you're doing, but you haven't really said, because I haven't asked you, what are you doing?
Okay. So the artist in residence and educational program at the transfer station, like I said, based on a concept from Recology in San Francisco, is where artists come and glean materials from the dumping floor. They can also use other mediums like audio. They can do video, you know, other mediums, not just, you know, three-dimensional art. But so they find the materials. Let's just say an artist would be working in the three dimension and find materials that are being dumped on the floor. So the processes of looking, contemplating, gleaning, creating, showing, exhibiting. And so this, you know, obviously there's goals to this program, but so, I mean, we could talk about that too, but that is what it is.
And I did invite Al Cairns to join us. Mm-hmm. And first he said he's just getting back from vacation, and if you know where he lives and what he does, he has lots to do. So that's understandable. And he said all that he contributed was saying yes. And I know Al very well, and I just want to acknowledge him. Adriana, you're going to have to just chime in. I may or may not direct a question to you, but don't be silent, okay?
Thank you, Al.
Thank you, indeed. If he's listening, and he may be, good fellow, he's been on this station with me any number of times. Tracy, before we move on to Carol, because most of our conversation is going to be with Carol, these examples in other places, San Francisco, I believe you mentioned a couple of other ones. Mm-hmm. What do you know about them? How long has this notion been percolating very quietly in our culture?
I believe that, I can't say the whole history of trash art has been probably since there was trash, or trash that is non-compostable, I guess, but I think it has developed over the years, and is more urgent to have programs like this at this time, as the 330 million Americans may be throwing out 4 pounds of trash a day, every day on the average. You know, that is not sustainable. So, I mean, as artists, what do you do? You know, you make things and bring to the attention of our production and consumption habits and our trash habits to make change. So
when I moved here, there was not a transfer station. There was a dump. And the dump was glorious because sometimes I had, I don't know, what would we call it, dump visitor's remorse, as in buyer's remorse, where I would go home with things more than I left behind. And the best example once was a camera. And I really miss being able to go through the garbage and take things home. It was a camera. And it was actually in a Boat Haven dumpster. So open up the lid, dump in. Oh, I look. There's a camera looking right up at me. And it winks at me. It winks at me, and it says to me, with its aperture, right, it says, Phil, I don't need to be in here. So I thought, maybe this camera knows something that I don't know, and I said, let's give you a try. And the camera whispered then. It said, Phil, I need new batteries. And it did. It was a fine single-lens reflex camera by Pentax. And I gave it to my son, and he used it for years until someone stole it from him. Yes, there is gold in our garbage, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And what you're doing, and now we're on to Carol, is you're the artist in residence. I believe you're the first one in the AIR program. How did you come to be that?
Well, I was approached by Adriana, actually, and she said that they were developing this project or this program that I might want to apply for. And I said, okay, well, I'll apply once you guys have the application. And that took, I think it was like maybe 4 or 5 months. She sent me a link to the application and I applied, and that was it, yeah.
Okay. Had you done such a thing before or contemplated it?
Yeah, so I have actually been trying to get into the Recology program. There's one in Seattle for about 6 years, and it's highly competitive. And so when I heard about this one, I was like, oh, I love Port Townsend. Of course I would love to do sculpture in Port Townsend. You know, it's like an art city, art town. So that's kind of how it came to be.
Did you have to provide an example of your art And what was it then?
I gave my website and showed a link of my portfolio with all my work on it.
And specifically work with, now, I guess the word is garbage. You know, I can say rubbish. I think I'll say rubbish. Work with rubbish. Had you had much experience with that?
Rubbish and garbage, both words are good for me. I'm cool.
Okay.
So I do, I don't want to say the majority of my work is upcycled, but I definitely try to consider upcycled materials in my work. So a lot of my large monoprints are anywhere from 15 to 20 feet tall, and they are made on industrial upcycled canvas that a company down south, I'm not going to say the name, they throw away these huge rolls of canvas monthly. And so artists in Seattle have gotten privy that you can get really good canvas that's not going to go in the dump, because that's usually where they throw it. And so that just got me to thinking about all these ways that I am myself can actually start looking at my own process and how I make my art and what can I do differently or
you've used a couple of words that I understand, but they've both gone by very quickly, and I think they're important words, so I want you to speak about each one. One is recology.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Mm-hmm. It means so many different things to so many different people. I would love Tracy's definition of what that means, actually.
Well... Actually, where I got Recology is actually the trash service.
Mm-hmm.
That is the name of their business, Recology. They do a lot of extra work, upcycling and things like that. So,
And for me, mm-hmm. I hadn't really heard the term Recology mm-hmm. until I was going to apply to the Seattle program, which is probably, like I said, mm-hmm. I think it's been about 6 years now, because I keep applying. But I didn't really understand what recology meant, even though I knew what it meant. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I'm in the same boat here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess we're not going to get a precise definition. And maybe the same will be true of upcycling.
Right. Well, yeah, everybody has a different definition of what upcycling. So here's the thing. Earlier when you were talking about, gleaning from the dump and how... Now, all of a sudden, there's a lot of programs popping up all over the country around art could possibly be made out of garbage. Part of the reason that's happening is because there's a huge movement towards shifting the concept of what is art and what do we define as art. And so an example of that is 15 years ago, collage was considered an art form, but now it's considered like it's like a fine art form. Museums are acquiring collage. Lots of galleries are showing collage. And a lot of that has to do with this idea of what does art actually mean? Does it mean we can use other products and put it in a painting and make that mean that that's actually a painting or a product? So for me, it's actually the transition. If you start looking at the overall art world and the overall history of the art world, there is a transition, especially in Washington State, around this idea of what art is. And so that allows for more material, allows for more expanse and experimental techniques around material that would not traditionally be deemed appropriate.
For art.
For what people consider to be art, right?
So, Carol, can you describe for me a typical workday for you when you're working for AIR?
Oh, wow. So we get up at 8:30. I've been meeting with Tracy at her house at 8:30 in the morning. We get a cup of coffee, chat for about a couple of minutes, come up with a game plan. And then I just go to work and we drive over to the Recology Center. And sometimes I think the longer the period's gone, the easier it's been for me to kind of, now that I know the staff, we'll get in there and we'll like, oh, that's what I want. And we glean it. And then, so for the first 2 months, that's what we were doing. I was just basically showing up and we were just picking all the stuff we'd want to add into the art project. Yeah, and travel, because I don't live here, you know, so I've been traveling, what is it, twice a week, I think, once a week, twice a week, something like that, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you expect, once this is, I think it's a three-month project, mm-hmm. Yes, once the 3 months are concluded, mm-hmm. you will have something that all of us can look at?
Yes, definitely, and it's, like, right there already. You could actually look at it right now. It's just not complete. It's out there on the site.
And so this, there's also education here. And maybe I read something, or maybe I imagined, or maybe it was a dream, but I'm wondering if other people who consider themselves artists, whether they validly do so or not, can participate by... Speak up, please.
Right, so... What has been happening is most of the staff, they've been collecting, because I've been along the way having conversations with staff about the project and the whole process. And so one of the things that I explained to them, we had a conversation around collecting and what does it mean to upcycle and reuse materials. And I said, if there's something you want to see in this sculpture, feel free. So we've gotten like all these like really cool animals and really cool wire, just a lot of really cool stuff. So if I would love to put that out to the community here in Port Townsend, if there's something you want to contribute, bring it on in and we can incorporate it within the next 2 weeks, because I think my goal is to be done, you know, the beginning of September, middle of September.
So tell me about your studio. On site.
Yes. It's outside, but we also, I also work in a trailer. They have about the size of your radio station where I can keep all my materials so it doesn't get wet. And then it's the summer. I've been working outside.
Is there a way for listeners, artists in the community, to create their own work as part of your project?
Yes, actually, because... So I should tell just a little bit about the story. So how I came up with the idea of the content related to this project. I did research on who lived here before, the story of the land, which is how I usually approach a lot of my art projects, is I look at the story of the land. And so the Chemicum people believed that Port Townsend sits in the mouth of a dragon. And so there's the dragon story, right? And how the dragon came up on the water, and man and the dragon basically, you know, didn't get along, then they got along, and now, you know, it's kosher. And it's supposed to symbolize the dragon is supposed to be nature and fighting with human beings and humans trying to conquer nature and not be sustainable around nature, right? And so this whole idea around what is sustainability. So I took the story of the dragon and the Chimicum nation and really had a conversation with the staff and said, what would you like to see? And they wanted to see a garbage king sitting on top of all his garbage and hoarding it so people could not put it into the dump. And so I combined both of those stories. So the statue and the sculpture is a dragon. We're still, and we would love, send us names. But right now the name is Dragon Lord, Dragon Garbage Lord, or something like that. But community input around the name would be awesome. And there's a dragon that will be sitting at his foot, and the dragon has wings. And when you look at the sculpture, it looks like it's sitting up above the garden on a hill with all its garbage. So if there's something you want to add to the sculpture, we want to see it when we bring it in. It's going to sit underneath his chair like he's sitting on top of all this garbage. So yes, that's the answer to your question.
It sounds like it. There's a lot of fun in this project.
It really is fun.
For
yes.
Everyone, indeed. Mm-hmm. I remember, but I don't necessarily trust my memory so much, that the name of the dragon was Coquitlos.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the dragon still has a name, and if one looks at a map, an overhead, one can see the dragon on our landscape.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a part, well, and that's how they came up with this story. The story came out of the fact that Port Townsend looks like it sits in the mouth of a dragon, and it is, you know, it has like this huge, you can't see what I'm doing.
No, I'm on radio, we're on radio.
Yeah.
Also looks like a salmon with its mouth open.
With a salmon. Yep.
And you can come to the transfer station.
So how do people find? How do people find you? How do people? If I'm really keen on our list, on some listeners wanting to make something, or bring a stuffed animal that won't have to go into the transfer station, can just go straight into your hand. How can they get in touch with y'all?
Well, there's a table outside the trailer that the crew leaves stuff there for us, kind of little presents for us.
It's a round table.
Yeah, it's a round table that sits outside the trailer, and they could leave a little treasures there.
Mm-hmm.
That could be added.
And how will people know when the unveiling is? I mean, when the culmination, when the party. You're kind of a party, aren't you?
Yeah, we're talking about that this morning, and will be in September or maybe early October, and it will be to be announced, the date, because we have to discuss with Justin, and shout out to Justin and Al and the whole team out there, because they're part of the program too.
Yeah.
And so we will probably be asking if you would announce those things at some point, that reveal, because we want to have a reveal, because it is an on-site specific artwork. So for we can't really bring it to a gallery or another space in town. So
will Carol get to take it back home to Seattle with her?
Oh, no, it's permanent sculpture there.
Ah.
Yeah.
So what is it about public art that so appeals to you, Carol, that takes you? I mean, I think of an artist in a nice little room like this, a studio and some soft music and a dog or a cat on the floor, maybe on top of the artwork if it's a cat. Why do you want to do this sort of thing rather than be in your studio?
Right. I think for me, the idea of art being utilized as a social tool to actually engage folks around topics of interest is very appealing to me. And because I'm really interested in stories of the land, it's a really natural way to get people involved in your art projects, it's a really great way to start the conversation, right? And so people want to contribute or want to add, and they want their stories to be heard about their experience of what has happened on the land that they live on, right? So for me, it's really powerful, because it's hard to see climate change and environmental devastation just through the lens of scientific data. It's way easier to see it when you couple scientific data with art and with the stories of the people who actually live on the land and create they're not creating the experience of that, but I mean, yeah, they are. It's their land, it's their culture, they're, you know.
Can I add something to that? Recently I saw this elder person chanting, "Bring human change to climate change."
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that's a big part of what we're talking about with the air and about your artwork, too.
So, Adriana, I've had you on the air before. It's been a while, and I remember you some. I'm going to direct this question to you, though I could direct it to all three of you, any one of you, but I want to hear your voice a bit more than we've heard it. There's purpose. I mean, we're laughing, we're having a good time. Playing with garbage is something one can chuckle about. But there's a statement of intent here to make, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you do that for me?
Well, I think, like, the bridge between, the interdisciplinary bridge between the trash, for simple terms, and the art has to do with the infinite creative problem solving that humans have potential for in terms of our own choices and how we're going to contribute to the future for our environment.
Yeah.
And
well, and to add to that, I think what's also interesting to me is that I grew up in a completely different generation where people made products that were quality and you didn't have to throw stuff away. It could be, you know, not necessarily rebuilt, but refurbished and upcycled and all of that, you know? And so that's my challenge with the future, is that our paradigm around what use of materials and products are, right? So really thinking about, like, if we buy stuff, where does it end up at the end of its life cycle, right? Are we actually allowing products and things to be made that can't have, you know, an upcycled life cycle? So for me, it's these conversations that allow me to have this dialogue with folks when you couple upcycled, recycled materials with art. So, and you start to have conversations with people about the land.
I'm just thinking, reduce, reuse, recycle, make art.
There's also the production. There's also the production piece that is missing from that model. And what I mean by the production piece is we should not even be making stuff that cannot be reused, reduced, or recycled. Like we shouldn't. It shouldn't even be a thought. Like styrofoam is. It shouldn't even have been made at all in the first place because we can't ever get rid of it. So for me, that's where the thinking paradigm needs to shift. It needs to start at the production of the product and the end of its life cycle, right? And how does that come about? But, yeah.
Social responsibility.
Tracy, please.
Social responsibility.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to shout out to the people and the committee, too, because we really haven't been advertising ourselves very much. And I want to just express gratitude to Adriana and Micah, her partner, Micah Wallace, because we have been, we did a pilot program last year, and we've been working hard to developing this program, and they put a lot of sweat.
Years, right?
Yeah, to put a lot of sweat equity into figuring out how this could work in real time, and we're very excited about the program and be looking for a new call out for artists to fill up the application, you know, in the coming year.
You're going to do this again then?
Oh, yeah. So every year. And hopefully it'll expand. The committee will expand. Everything will expand in a nice, slow, organic way. And, you know, we're just hoping, we're just really happy that Carol is here this year. And, you know, we're going to celebrate her work. And we are really grateful to the crew who have been extra.
Shout out to them.
They're very helpful and, and welcoming.
Kind. And so,
yeah.
And they're very kind.
Yeah. So anyway, good team. Good teamwork. Yeah.
Way to go, Tracy.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at the clock, and I have to do that sort of thing. So we're going to wrap this up fairly soon, but. Please, you have a website. You haven't mentioned it, but it's important that people can have that information.
Sure. It's AIRE@thetransferstation.com.
Easy enough. If people didn't pick that up, they can write to me and ask at CATS, CATS@KPTZ.org. And with that, with luck and with that, we have a slow computer, but here it goes.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Well, we're not done yet. I have to manage the music here that we finish with.
Okay.
And then I have to look at the back of my page. I asked Carol and Tracy to choose music to close the show, and Carol maybe didn't see my email. But Tracy did, and she suggested what we're listening to in the background. It's David Grisman's Dog's Groove. You're hearing it in the background now. Attention Please is aired each Monday at noon and at 5 on Saturdays at noon and is posted as a podcast soon after its first Monday broadcast, which is to say very soon. Thanks to KPTZ volunteer Pat Rogers, Mike. Thanks to Carol Rishana Williams and to Tracy Grisman and to Adriana Santiago. Good conversation. Thanks to all of you who listen also. Do Attention Please. I'm Phil Andrus, and now we'll hear some more music.